How do some businesses seem to be continuously innovating while others struggle to replicate their early success? By studying companies like Microsoft, Amazon, and Apple, Benham Tabrizi has managed to distill the leadership principles that separate good companies from great ones. Benham is a professor and executive program co-director in the Department of Management Science and Engineering at Stanford University. And he joins us now to share five big ideas from his new book, Going on Offense, A Leader's Playbook for Perpetual Innovation.
Hi, this is Benham Tabrizi, and I'll be talking to you about my new book, Going on Offense, A Leader's Playbook for Perpetual Innovation. I've been teaching leading transformation and innovation at Stanford University for over 25 years. And throughout the years, I have helped thousands of CEOs and leaders plan, mobilize, and implement innovative transformation across their organizations. First, I want to talk about Tale of Two Cities as it relates to my book. I'm going to give example first of a company named Microsoft, which you all know. For years now, observers of tech have written off Microsoft as a 20th century phenomenon, fat and happy from their Windows monopoly. The tech giant hadn't had a breakthrough innovation in decades. It was rich enough to be a fast follower, but really too big and bureaucratic to lead in any market. Jeff Bezos, interestingly enough, from Amazon, was known to kind of gesture east and admonish his Amazon colleagues not to become complacent like their Seattle neighbor. So how did Microsoft revive its culture of innovation? For years, the company was written off for playing defense and on its conservative position in the tech world. But as it signaled its partnership with OpenAI and it challenged Google's search supremacy, it had gone back to offense. Another very interesting example is Tesla. The avalanche of wins from Tesla in EV electrical vehicle, especially in the charging area, keep rolling. In May, Ford Motor Company announced that it would incorporate Tesla's charging points into their future EV models. GM also followed right away, and Chrysler, Toyota, and other Japanese car makers said they're evaluating. And even last week, big announcement about dual charger station acknowledged that Tesla's charging system will eventually become the standard in EV charging. So the question is, how could this happen? Tesla coming out of nowhere now is a dominant force in the automaker industry. So again, Tale of Two Big Cities, one organization going on offense and the rest of the industry playing defense. Existential purpose. And specifically, I'm going to talk about Microsoft. The existential purpose and committing to it really started with Nadella taking the reins in 2014 when the board picked him to replace the retiring CEO, Steve Ballmer. At the time, he was the head of company's fastest growing cloud computing, and his promotion seemed unlikely to change the lumbering giant's trajectory. But Nadella and the board were tired of seeing the technology world pass by the one-time leader. He announced that it was time to, quote, rediscover the soul of Microsoft, a reason for being, end of quote. This wasn't just another exercise in corporate purpose. Nadella treated it as an existential moment. Having long accomplished its goal of a PC on every desk and in every home running Microsoft software, the company needed a new vision, a new inspiring vision to get their coders and engineers fired up. With his colleagues, Nadella reoriented the company to empowering every person and every organization on planet to achieve more. This pivot was accomplished by a strategic shift. Instead of protecting its asset in a defensive posture, Microsoft went on offense, seeding big investments in existing tech and looking to jump into emerging opportunities. The most noticeable change was external. For decades, the company had resisted partnership. Of course, its DOS operating system was a cash cow, but those days were over. So to fulfill its new existential commitment, Microsoft needed to combine its enormous asset, which incidentally is cash and engineering talent, with those of other companies. And by opening up to other platforms and by investing in partnership in particular. This took two notable forms. First, Microsoft embraced rival operating systems such as Linux and iOS and supported other companies' virtual reality devices. Second, recognizing the entrepreneurial agility of startups, the company began investing in a series of small firms at the forefront of the tech. Nadella had the gall to elevate some of these talented people from the startup, for example, Kevin Scott, who played a critical role in the success of Microsoft. Adopting a startup mindset. Despite the firm's massive size, Microsoft cultural transformation involves several attributes of startups. One was an obsession with customers. The company sold a great many software products, most of them connected online in various ways. Rather than go by sales, a lagging indicator in a fast-moving market, or even what customers were saying, Nadella had product developers focus on what people were actually using. They set up dashboards to see usage over the previous month to get an up-to-date sense of the market. The company also freed up its engineering talent to explore new possibilities. As Nadella wrote in his account of the change, these engineers came to Microsoft with big dreams and we needed to unleash their talents. So he reduced hierarchies, freed engineers from most of the institutional control, including roles on contacting people across levels, if you will, to get answers to specific problems. The engineers became Microsoft mainstream rather than fighting daily battles. With them on board, the company could better address sudden opportunities and threats. Microsoft even sponsored what it called the world's largest private hackathon, where company engineers worked together on all sorts of projects they dreamed up. The annual event drew more than 10,000 engineers from all over the world and also from other functions. Each one lasted only a few days, but it made connection across silos, and it also ended up in some remarkable products. In all of this, Microsoft acted more like a startup rather than a high-inertia, slow-moving culture. Customer obsession is tied to existential purpose. Tesla had focused on giving customers what they want. Because EVs had enormous initial cost, Musk and others had to start with a luxury end. But the higher price point enabled them to give buyers a delightful experience and spread a positive vibe across the globe with this new technology. Over time, in the usual practice of car makers, that delightful experience could happen even for buyers of mid-priced vehicles. And that's where scale and the results for the world can happen. If Tesla had gone for scale immediately, their product would have been mediocre. Something similar happened with their superchargers. Tesla developed their superchargers quite advanced, and other EV makers saw them as premature. Isn't it hard enough to just get the basic charging down? But Tesla, like Apple, knew that reducing friction was essential to driving widespread adoption, especially for luxury buyers who had more cash than time. And now, even mid-tier buyers want access to superchargers. Radical collaboration. This is hard to see because it's entirely internal, but Tesla operates with a different sense of hierarchy than conventional automakers. Musk says he specifically tells people to ask for help from anyone, even if that colleague is three levels higher in the organization. in most organizations, you have to go through every level and each one could take weeks. And the information gets filtered and it becomes a very slow moving process. Respect at Tesla comes from expertise, not rank. And people are willing to pass on insights to anyone who asks without worrying about losing stature from talking to the underlings. Musk himself notoriously goes around to people working on problems and offering unsolicited advice or insights. One former Tesla manager I spoke to remembers studying an issue extensively and then talking about it to Musk. Now, given Musk, who had the big vision and could see the different parts of the organization by talking to various people, he had this fresh but sympathetic perspective that truly added values. What this leader does, others follow too. The traditional car makers have tried to loosen their hierarchies, but they still have a long way to go. This is why Tesla can continue to out-innovate them. Oftentimes, these traditional companies use known methods, such as gather a lot of data before you act. Yet Tesla gathers enough data and iterates and iterates and constantly pivots with a very clear focus on doing big things. Because of these and other factors, it's no surprise that Tesla is still outmaneuvering companies with a century of experience in their industry. The real question is whether Tesla can continue its impressive streak of agile innovation as it becomes large and profitable. We've been seeing one-time darlings like Google and Alphabet fall behind after becoming fat and happy. Can Tesla avoid this fate? Well, so far, they've been running on all 8 cylinders. Thank you so much. I really appreciate for you listening to this conversation, and I look forward to interacting with you in the social media. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Benham. That was Benham Tabrizi with 5 big ideas from Going on Offense, a leader's playbook for perpetual innovation. Also, check out our book by 4, Leading Through Disruption, a changemaker's guide to 21st century leadership by Andrew Liveris. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.